A very good morning to you all, and welcome to New Bottom Tea Church of Scotland and to our service of worship this morning. Just a wee reminder that next Sunday we shall be going back to the church building, but provision has also been made for a Zoom service for those who are still finding it a little bit difficult to join us in church. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 29. Praise the Lord, you heavenly beings. Praise his glory and power. Praise the Lord's glorious name. Bow down before the Holy One when he appears. The voice of the Lord is heard on the seas. The glorious God thunders, and his voice echoes over the ocean. The voice of the Lord is heard in all its might and majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon. He makes the mountains of Lebanon jump like calves and makes Mount Hermon leap like a young bull. The voice of the Lord makes the lightning flash. His voice makes the desert shake. He shakes the desert of Kadesh. The Lord's voice shakes the oaks and strips the leaves from the trees, while everyone in his temple shouts, "Glory to God." The Lord rules over the deep waters. He rules as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people and blesses them with peace. Let us worship God on our first hymn this morning. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, as a shepherd gathers their flock, so you've gathered us today, drawing us into the shelter of your flock to feed and to refresh us. Some of us come before you rejoicing because our path has led us through green pastures, and you have filled our cup of happiness to overflowing. Some of us come before you battered and bruised by life because our path has led us through dark and frightening valleys, and we need to know your strength restoring our souls. Some of us, like foolish sheep, come before you ashamed because we have wandered astray instead of following you, and now we come to seek for your forgiveness. If we have followed the crowd, doing as others did, forgetting that we are pledged to follow you, then, Good Shepherd, set us right. If we have chosen to do what we want rather than to act out of love for others and have found ourselves in difficulties, then, Good Shepherd, set us right. If we have been so preoccupied with other things that we have stopped listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, then, Good Shepherd, set us right. Bring us back from where we have wandered and set our feet on the path that leads to life. Speak your word of pardon, Lord, and remind us that you said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. May each of us know that we matter to you, however far away we may have strayed. May we hear your voice afresh during our service today and draw closer to you before we leave. May we entrust the week ahead to you and have the courage to follow you day by day. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next theme, Christ is alive, let Christians sing.
First reading this morning It's taken from Exodus chapter 20, reading the first six verses. Exodus 20, 1 to 6, the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep my commandments. The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. John 17, 1 to 8. Jesus prays to be glorified. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me and have accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed you sent me. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy words. We will now sing, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Let us pray. Lord of light, make our hearts pure, that we may see you with our eyes of faith. Reveal yourself to us now in the message of your word, that we may hear you speak to us. Strengthen our wills, that we may choose the good from the evil, and proclaim day by day the glory and power of your blessed gospel. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I recently read about a little fellow who had been sent to his room because he had been bad. A short time later, he came out and said to his mother, "I've been thinking about what I did and I said a prayer." "That's fine," she said. "If you ask God to make you good, he will help you." "Oh, I didn't ask him to help me be good," replied the boy. "I asked him to help you put up with me." Dear friends, the young lad wanted his mom to put up with him rather than change his bad behavior. That was a smart, selfish prayer by the lad, but now I want to turn to one which is more generous, the prayer of Jesus Christ. John 17 is one of the most prominent passages of Scripture, and it outlines Christ's prayer for the church. Leslie Newbegin, the great Anglican leader and missionary to India, makes much of that prayer in his comment on John 17. When a man is going on a long journey, he will find time on the eve of his departure for a quiet talk with his family. And if he is a man of God, he will end by commending to God not only himself and his journey, but also the family whom he leaves behind. Very surely will this be so if his journey is the last one. I think many people would understand this impulse or sudden, strong, and unreflective urge or desire to act. It reveals a great deal about us. Our affection for our family and our personal commitment to God. Therefore, when we open the words of Jesus in John 17, we should let them speak to us out of the setting of his life and his world. For at least 3 years, these men have been his closest companions. They have lived and worked together through many trials and joys. But now they have come to the hour that has pounded like a drumbeat through the pages of the gospel. Jesus Christ knows that his time of departure out of this world is at hand. He is leaving. And so this prayer unveils his incredible love for his followers and his eagerness to return to his Father. Dear friends, we should see ourselves too as subjects of this prayer. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Shepherd, as much as he was the shepherd of this small circle of men. Therefore, when he prays, he invites us to listen, to hear the quality of the love and honor shared between himself and God. He invites us to listen to as he prays for believers, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. We are the church, the body of believers built on the apostles' word. So in Jesus' prayer, we sense and behold the sovereign plan of God and the love of Jesus over his people as he departs from this world. God's sovereign plan involved the hour when the Son of God would offer himself on the cross. For Jesus Christ, life had a climax, and that was the cross. The cross was the glory of life and the way to the glory of eternity. "The hour has come," he said, "for the Son of Man to be glorified." John 17, verse 1, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." These things refer to the upper room discourse. Jesus spoke the words of this prayer out loud so that the disciples could learn from it and record it for our instruction. And we remember that elsewhere the Lord instructed us to pray, "Our Father, who is in heaven. What we learn from this conversation between Jesus and the Father is the amazing truth that we can approach the sovereign creator of the universe as our loving Father who cares for us as his children, but that we must always come to him in submission, recognizing his sovereign authority over us. The hour has come. Of course, we cannot know God's sovereign plan in advance as Jesus did. He knew when that predetermined hour was upon him, but we can know that God is sovereign over every trial that comes into our lives. Jesus endured the cross by trusting that the Father had determined the hour. We can endure trials in our lives, knowing that God is in control of history and that he is directing our own personal histories. He wants to be glorified as others see us trusting him in prayer as we go through difficulties and trials. And then there is another part to Jesus' prayer, which is from verse 6 to 8, where he prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Now, we must note that this prayer was specifically for the band of disciples that Jesus had chosen, because if it was a general prayer at the time, it would not be true. Not everyone believed in him, and not everyone accepted his truth. But he had given the words to the disciples, and they had accepted them. And now he was praying and committing them into God's hands as he left them. There are some great people who have found John 17 as a helpful prayer on which their souls have found a resting place. When John Knox, the founder of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, was very ill, he called to his wife and said, "Read me that scripture where I first cast my anchor." After he listened to the beautiful prayer of Jesus recorded in John 17, he seemed to forget his weaknesses. He began to pray, interceding earnestly for his fellow people. He prayed for the ungodly who had thus far rejected the gospel. He pleaded on behalf of people who had been recently converted, and he requested protection from the Lord's servants, many of whom were facing persecution. As Knox prayed, his spirit went home to be with the Lord. The man of whom Queen Mary had said, "I fear his prayers more than I do the armies of my enemies," ministered through prayer until the moment of his death. Let me ask you as I finish, how is your prayer life? Do you glorify God Almighty in your prayer? And do you pray for others when you do pray? We must remember the sovereignty of God in our time of trial and temptations, even as we pray. And we must learn to pray for those we love in our lifetime, and even when we are about to depart this world, if at all we know when. The cross is the hour for which Jesus came into the world, the means of his self-glorification, and the ground on which God forgives sins and gives us eternal life. And let me end with the words of Galatians 6:14, the words of Paul the Apostle. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that wonderful prayer which Jesus Christ made glorifying you, O Father, so that you may glorify him too. We thank you, O God, that he did not pray only for himself, but he prayed also for us, his disciples. Father, we pray that you give us the spirit of prayer. Help us, O Father, to come to you especially in our need and to recognize your sovereignty over our lives. And help us also to pray for the welfare of others. For this is how we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next theme is Rejoice, the Lord is King. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and ourselves, and let us thank God. Living God, accept the offerings we bring to you in a whole variety of ways. Grant that they may go where we can't go, that they may reach where we cannot reach, that they may do what we cannot do. Use them to strengthen your church and advance your kingdom here and where we are and far beyond, for Jesus' sake. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We thank you for his resurrection, by which you brought joy to the women and the apostles, salvation to the whole world, and promised us universal resurrection so that we may rise in a new life. Son of God, risen Lord, and Prince of Life, we implore you, pour out your gifts upon us and all our brothers and sisters. Eternal God, as Jesus and the early church cared for those in need, we pray for all who suffer and are not cared for, or whom care cannot reach. We pray for the elderly who die alone, the young who are neglected or cruelly treated, young and old whose weaknesses are exploited and sensitivities abused. We pray for all who have grown hopeless and weary, as each day is like the last, and for those who face hunger and homelessness with no way out. Here we think of refugees from war and violence to whom no one wants to give a home. Those whose lives have been wrecked by conflicts they do not understand and cannot affect or change. Hounded by economic and political forces or by the impact of climate change, which take no account of their need. in this world of so much suffering. We pray too for all who are affluent, comfortable, warm, and cared for, who do not care. For those who know what they should do, but do not bother. For those who close their eyes and minds, and those who simply find other people's troubles and needs a cross they do not wish to bear. We pray for those who do care, those who accept the pain and disturbance that knowledge brings, but do not see what they can do, those whose consciences are hurt, who want to help, but cannot see how. We pray for all who do care, who are willing to go the extra mile time and again, often at cost in so many ways. For those who go where trouble, pain, and poverty are, risking life and limb, facing danger and fear. Father, as we pray, increase the depth of love in us and in others who have something to give to the ill, troubled, and dying. Give us such love that your sheep, both inside and outside the fold, may be found, given health, strength, food, and the ability to enjoy life to the full, and to the joy and the joy to praise you. We thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd, and for your grace and mercy that has made us part of his flock. Thank you that you watch over your flock. You know us by name. You understand what we are like. You call us to follow, and you accompany us along the path, seeking us out when we stray, keeping a loving eye on what we do. Lead us into your future, on the adventure of faith. And now, O Father, in the silence of this moment, we want individually to bring our needs to you. Father, each time we make our prayers to you, we do so in faith because we believe that you hear us and you are willing to answer us. So answer us, O Father, according to the riches of your glory in heaven. And we ask all this through the great and worthy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final hymn is At the Name of Jesus. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. A God who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.